Before we get started with today's show, I wanted to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, The Low Post. It's the number one NBA podcast for a reason. Top executives, coaches, players, and the best analysis in the game. The NBA Finals are underway, so be sure to check it out. You can follow The Low Post now as well as The Right Time wherever you get your podcast. Also, the final chapter in the rivalry between Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor will be written on Saturday, July 10th at UFC 264. UFC 264 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV. The Right Time with Bomani Jones is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. We are back after a little time off, and it's that time of week where we have a guest join us and coming to us live, the best college football writer in America. Check out the Shutdown Fullcast and other things. Spencer Hall, what's going on, man?
Hello, sir. I'm just, you know, bathing in all of this endorsement money, you know. Some candles here. No hemp. We can't do hemp yet. Soon, we will manage to work all of this out so that we can actually give college athletes a little bit of that cash they've been missing.
Yeah, it is a new day. Name, image, and likeness. On July 1, state said, hey, you guys are open for business. You can do this, and do it they did. I was amazed at how many people, like, as soon as July 1 hit, it was open for business. My homeboy sent me some yesterday. Let me go find this right now, because this is just so funny. And, you know, important preface, my homeboy from Memphis, right? And so, Whitehaven High School Family Reunion is the Facebook group. And some young man got on. And honestly, I wondered if this is like Cameron Payne's brother. No, it's not because he's the fourth on this. But his name is Payne. He said he currently attends Christian Brothers University. He's majoring in business administration. He's on the basketball team. People say I'm a hometown hero for staying home and playing for my city. Graduated from Whitehaven High School in 2020. I am here to ask to support your brand / organization and talk business with you since NCAA student athletes can make money off our names, image, and likeness. He's like, I got 5,000 followers on Instagram. I got 800 followers on Twitter. I got 3,700 friends on Facebook. Everybody's open for business.
One thing I'm enjoying about all of this is that student athletes are about to figure out that having a lot of followers on Twitter and Instagram means a lot. And also doesn't mean a lot. They're about to find out the limits of that. They're about to find out about conversion rates. Because in their head, they're going, well, if I get everyone to buy a t-shirt, if I get everyone to, you know, get a cut of whatever I'm pushing, I'm going to get like 10 to 20%, you know, conversion rates. We are about to introduce you to the 1% to 2% rule, y'all, which is that social media, you're going to get about 1% to 2% who are full subscribers on all of that. Trust me, we know. So do your math accordingly. If you got projections of like 25% of people buying that stuff, I will scale back a little bit on that because turns out a lot of people are following you. Those are Twitter followers. They're not your followers necessarily. You're about to find out who the hardcores are.
Yes. Well, they're also going to learn the definition of a lot, right? Like all these numbers feel like a lot. Like you think about it. You got 1,500 people following you on Twitter. It's not a full 1,500, but let's just call it for this purpose. You got 1,500 people who want to know what you say. That sounds like a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't a lot of people to the money. Like, mm-mm. I don't have a lot of followers for the money. And I got 550,000 of them.
Yeah, you're about to find out weirdness, too. Because if you're one of those people who has a million followers, your first 10 replies, they're all going to get weird, man. They're all going to be way weird. You're gonna be, there's going to be people asking me for money. And you're like, no, money would be like the least disturbing thing they're going to ask for in the first 10 replies. So, well, welcome to the big time. Welcome to the money looking at you and going, let me introduce you to boutique industry. You might be a niche. Welcome to niche marketing. That's what you're going to have. These athletes in 6 months are going to be like, I'm really more of an artisanal candle maker. And artisanal means you're going to charge $80 a pop for whatever you're offering. And someone's going to pay it. Yes. God bless them. Someone is going to pay it. My favorite. I have candles on the brain, by the way, because my favorite endorsement, and I want to get this out of the way soon. DeJuan Jones, if you are listening to this, you're beautiful. You're brilliant because DeJuan Jones is like 6.5 feet tall. He's like 370 pounds. His nickname is Big Thanos. He is a lineman for the Ohio State Buckeyes, and he has my favorite endorsement deal of all endorsement deals, and there are some good ones out there, but his is for Go Puff Candles. That's right. Scented candles. You have a 6.5 foot tall man who weighs like as much as a truck, and he's on his Twitter account at DVJ79, get money. He's on here saying, get $25 when you sign up for daily essentials. He's got that mountain berry flavor because big men like to smell good too.
Yes, yes. More importantly, big men know that the ladies like it when it smells good, and then it goes from there. Is the Cat Williams. No, I don't drink vodka, but you know who do, right? Okay. Now, one thing that's about to happen here, these guys' Twitter accounts are really about to stink. Like, their Twitter accounts are just about to be the spammiest get money at all times situation, right? Couple dollars here, couple dollars there, whatever it is. In fact, I almost feel like for the coaches, this is the best thing to ever happen. You ain't got to worry about them saying nothing silly on Twitter no more. All they gonna be saying is, let me get this money.
Suddenly all the bumpers that you had wanted to build in for don't talk about this, don't do that, capitalism's gonna do a lot of that. I don't want to alienate a customer. You come by the Twitter feed and I want you to buy my, I don't know, my supplements. Somebody's going to have a supplements line. My steaks. There's a Miami defensive back who signed a steaks endorsement deal. Well, guess who buys steaks? Everybody. Guess who doesn't want to be offended? A potential steak buyer who might be interested in using my personal promo code to go get a pair of tomahawk chops down at the butcher in Miami. So they're not going to do that. So yeah, this might have gone ahead and saved them a lot of trouble. Also, we're going to learn about signal modulation a little bit here. Okay, because suddenly you're going to remember, I'm a content provider. Okay, young student athlete, understand, you can't do an ad every time. I'm just going to mute you. So we're going to have to provide some actual content in there. And you're going to go crazy trying to do this. It's going to be wild watching them try to figure out, I have to say things in between the ads.
It's all happened. And of course, with Miami. Miami's where this gets fun, right? So one thing, you guys may remember the infamous Nevin Shapiro story, I guess, of 2009, 2010, wherever it was. But Nevin's point always was, what we have to do to get guys, like what we got is clubs. What we got is lifestyle. What we got is beaches. What we don't have is money. We don't have like a booster class that can just really come make money rain. Like he called it, I think, an endless river of money in the SEC. He said that was impossible. Now, with this name, image, and likeness stuff, people have been raising the question of, well, what's going to stop boosters from just giving guys crazy amounts in order to have endorsement deals, like just to go around the system? And Miami's people looked back and said, nothing's going to stop that. And not only we're going to do it, we're going to say it. So what was this, like a MMA gym or something like that, that signed a deal with the whole team, and they are explicit. The whole premise is, bring the U back. That's how they're going to do it. They cutting checks for about $500 a month to every player, which again, not the most money in the world, but not bad when you're in college and on scholarship, right? And on a meal plan. You can do some things with $500 a month in college. We bring in the U back. Yes, it's about to happen everywhere. What are you endorsing? Does it matter? You want this check?
Doesn't really matter. Also, which place was most equipped for an accounting challenge? An accounting challenge is when I tell you, I can't keep you from doing this thing I don't want you to do. I just need you to relabel it, because this is proof that the NCAA and the powers that be in collegiate athletics never really cared how players got paid. They really don't. Once that fight was lost, they are just shuffling deck chairs to keep jobs. That's all they're doing. So when I told you, you can't have a payroll. Okay, cool. We can't have a payroll. What if I get an endorsement for the whole team? And I put that money into a pool. And we distribute it at regular, predictable intervals throughout the year. That's not a payroll, right? No. That's an endorsement deal. Okay, cool. We're fine with that. That's a payroll. Did you think Miami was not going to come through with this? Did you think a place which was the most aggressively friendly to the export-import industry over the past 30 to 40 years wasn't going to come correct with the accounting immediately? Bilingual. No, they were going to do this ASAP. They were going to have it ready. That's why Miami has to lead with marketing. You're right. But also, you want to talk about things they did have? Core competency for moving money around with the right labels so nobody gets in too much trouble. That's another thing Miami was gunning and ready with. I am so happy because there were two, like midnight, there were two things that broke. All right. One, bunch of Miami players, Derek King, getting everything together and saying, we are ready. We are set to be endorsers and influencers and sponsor products and get money for people. And we're going to do it for everybody. That's awesome. The second, Bo Nix of Auburn coming through with the Milo's tea endorsement immediately at like 12:01 with the jug in hand, looking like a Backstreet Boy, ready to go. And I was like, oh, this is so much more beautiful than I could have imagined.
We are, I think in general with this, we all thinking a little too narrowly on what the possibilities are for things to be endorsed. And I admit that I did this because I still believe that people are overstating greatly how much money most of these players are actually going to get from this, because most of them honestly aren't that visible, aren't that marketable. You shouldn't just get paid on the basis of your fame, right? Like, that's a whole nother discussion that we can get to. But there's only but so many guys who can, except again, as you put it, when people decide that they're gonna put the right names and right labels on this. But something that's happened with booster culture all over the place, especially with the schools that kind of rose up a little bit later, like Miami, like it doesn't feel like later now because it's been 40 years, but they still rose up a little bit later. They're like the Dallas Mavericks, right? Like teams that got franchises in the 80s. It was a little later. That means those people behind those programs, those boosters, they got their money in different ways than they did as some of these powerhouse schools. They got different things that they're pushing. And it doesn't matter if the player has some direct connection to the industry. Like Joe Namath didn't have no direct connection to pantyhose. He just Joe Namath. And so they was able to sell them. And then they go from there. I can't wait to see who the first player is to advertise somebody's venture capital firm who is then paid by that venture capital firm. That's where this is going to be fun, is when the venture capital firm, like, basically advertise your own slush fund. If you get out here and you advertise this slush fund, you'll get some of the money out of that slush fund. And baby, it's coming.
Oh, it just takes one to make a not payroll of serious substance appear attached to a collegiate athletics program, right? And by the way, the program showed how to do this. It's not that players, you know, oh man, who's teaching the players to be this greedy? Collegiate athletics. Because for years, teams have separated the corporate operations of the team from the school itself. So this whole separate accounting, that's something the schools have been doing. This is turnabout. This is fair play for them. The second thing is this. Why are you going to go back and talk about $5,000 or $6,000 being nothing? I've seen a lot of people say, well, that's not much. Do you remember being 19? Do you remember how $5,000? Oh, that's retirement money. That's island money to a 19-year-old.
I remember the first time I got a check for $1,000, right? Because no shade to you Pell Grant kids, you know what I'm saying? But I never got none of those, you know what I mean? Like, I never had no opportunity for the government to be like, oh boy, your parents need a little help there to get you through college. Nope, they did not. So I never saw them checks. I remember the first time I got a check for $1,000. I won some contest my senior year in college. And baby, let me tell you, it was a holiday when I got that $1,000. You know, $1,000 at 2001 prices, but still $1,000 nonetheless.
Oh yeah, especially if you've already gone ahead and you've got all of the yes benefits being student athlete. If I've got a dorm, I got a little meal plan set up, suddenly I got five grand coming to me regularly.
Yes.
Oh, my standard of living just tripled. So
yes,
it's not nothing. And it's also the tip of the iceberg. The money that you're hearing about now is the start. I guarantee you. Who likes to spend money on college football? Go look at the top five. Those are your suspects. You want to watch the money roll in? Watch them. Watch what Ohio State does.
People need to understand. You're like, everybody pays. Yes, kind of, right? But some schools are just known. We pay, right? You're going to be riding clean the second you get to campus, like all of these things. Remember when, what's his name? Clarette aired out the whole system. Like, people act like it didn't happen. He did that interview, and he laid out where you go to get the car, where you go to get the money. Jim Tressel, that time that Troy Smith got suspended, Troy Smith had gone to talk to Jim Tressel about something, and Jim Tressel's like, well, you should go talk to this man, and goes and walks out with like $2,000, right? Like, they are a paying place. And they are going to pay. They are going to pay. And another level that I want to see that'll be interesting, Ohio State is a different school than most of these out here, because the truth is, there aren't that many like big time Division I colleges that have strong and loyal like black fan bases. There just aren't. These schools been antagonizing us for a very long time. They don't really have like a class of people that wants to give money to the school. But I'm telling you, the wokest thing in the world that you could do is decide that you're going to endorse one of these kids for no reason, or decide that you're going to endorse the whole team. And at a place like Ohio State, you got the base that might actually care about such a thing. Clemson, they got the base that just really wants to be good at football, so they'll do it, but they're not trying to, you know, like you understand the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, though, there's a vast difference. And the difference also is going to be this, that the amount of money that it takes to do this, I don't want to poor mouth $540,000. That is a substantial sum of money. It is a sum of money going to the Miami football roster for the America's top team gym endorsement.
Yes.
Side note, by the way, Ohio State's fuming. Miami got the MMA endorsement before they did. Fuming. There's only one place that could have cared more, and that's Ohio State, because there's like 1,000 bros with the barbed wire tats around the yes. biceps going, no way, man. I just took my pre-workout. I am enraged hearing this.
Andy Katsimura is going to write like an amicus brief about it.
Oh, yeah. There are so many thousands of pounds and angry hang cleans in gyms and garage gyms around Ohio happening over this. They're like, no, man, we got to fight back. We got to get that tap out endorsement, right? We got to get like UFC on board with this. Call Dana. Something's got to be done. But with Ohio State, you don't think we can find somebody who's got $540,000 for an endorsement? Friend, we're going to find somebody who's probably got three or four times that, because there's people who can drop a mill on a football program for nothing. What happens if I can give it to the players and actively improve our recruiting profile? That's what's going to happen. And if you think we're talking dirty about Ohio State, one, go back and look at everything that Claret and Smith and everyone who's been in that program who's gone on the record and said about their generous benefits package, everything around, right? Para benefits, like things that exist off the record. It's good to be an Ohio State football player. It is a good thing. That's true of a lot of schools in that top 10, top 15 range. And you're going to have to see everybody step that up, because it's all on board now. When what we're saying is all on board, this can be done. This is something that everyone has decided is perfectly above board. So you can gnash your teeth about it, or you can start competing. I think most people, as is the pattern in college sports, they're just going to start writing checks and let everybody else catch up.
Yes, competing is on the way. Like, look, you think these dudes really feel like paying for the waterfall at the recruiting center? Nah. That money probably go a lot farther, going straight into somebody's pockets. And here we go. We have arrived. Like, we're going to see some fascinating products that people are offering. And we are going to learn about some businesses in some of these places that we didn't really know nothing about. Like what the crack-a-lackin' thing is in Cheyenne, Wyoming, for example, or any of these places. We're going to find out what those things are. And their commercials, honestly, the biggest part of the budget is probably going to be the players. There are a lot of shot on iPhone ads coming your way. I, for one, can't wait.
I really enjoy the chaotic part of the story. We have just entered the full Wild West chaotic part of the story. For further evidence of this, and how sometimes you just get a beautiful poetic match between commerce, audience, and sponsor. Who's sponsoring the entire offensive line for the Arkansas Razorbacks? That's right, a local barbecue joint.
I thought the pandemic was going to kill buffets, but obviously y'all ain't doing nothing yet. Y'all ain't stopping doing anything that y'all actually want to do. So, hey, it might still be there.
Yeah, by the way, eating at buffets pre-pandemic, already kind of a dicey move for me, hygienically speaking. I'll do it, but I wasn't exactly comfortable. Now, full hazmat suit. Full hazmat suit rolling up to the buffet, which, again, some of y'all just live like Vikings. No fear, sailing in, dirty hands, digging into the buffet. God bless you. That's not going to be me. I want to know who Wisconsin's going to get. That's like for the Wisconsin O-line that prides itself on being an easy 370 across the board. I need to see who your mass sponsor is going to be. I need to know what local buffet. I need to know if Golden Corral is going to belly up, because you know what? The chocolate wonderfall, I can't think of a better symbol of the cohesion of melting down elements into a beautiful unified whole than the chocolate waterfall at Golden Corral.
Well, this thing is also tiered, right? Because we are seeing that quarterback class, the JT Daniels at Georgia, Sam Howell at North Carolina, they out here signing with like firms. And when I say firms, I mean like the CAAs of the world and all of that. Like, that's where they're going to get their money as well. They should. Because look, man, for a lot of those guys, like I look back on it, I was in North Carolina. Like, I wasn't in school, but I was there for the Tyler Hansbrough era.
Yeah.
You know the only person that really, really, really came up off Tyler Hansbrough while he was at North Carolina, that whose name was Hansbrough? His mom. His mom got a job as a fundraiser. And the thing was, it was a legitimate play for the school. Tyler Hansbrough's mom is coming to ask you for money. This totally makes sense. But he would have made a zillion dollars, and he'd been there for so long, by the end of it, he would have been a terrible actor, but he'd have been getting, like, national ads. Like, Tim Tebow would have been getting national ads. Reggie Bush would have been getting national ads, especially the guys. Like, every time I saw a list, they're like, well, who would make the most money on name, image, and likeness? And they throw these names out, and I'm like, no, y'all misunderstand. Y'all needed to get the guys. Like, Matt Leinart would have made more money at USC than Reggie Bush, because Matt Leinart would have won a national championship one year, the Heisman the next year, and then come back, right? Top being white. He'd have got all that money over that span of time. Herschel Walker would have been making money for 3 years. Vince Young, yeah, got to the party a little bit late, buddy. I'm not sure how much they would have been there for you. But Tim Tebow could have probably made $1 million over the course of those 4 years.
Mm-hmm. I have another name, Deion Sanders. I know Deion wasn't there long, but I just want you to imagine Deion Sanders in the endorsement era. And the glories that would have come out of that.
Well, my question is, what's the mall in Tallahassee? I don't know what the mall is in Tallahassee. Yeah, but if I had a kiosk selling gold in 1987 or 1988, there is no question who my advertiser is. It is Deion Sanders. I'm the beauty supply store. Deion Sanders. That's the guy that I'm putting out front.
Oh, I would have had Deion looking like King Tut. Yeah. Like he would have looked like a pharaoh if I were the gold store opener and operator in the Tallahassee Mall. Yeah. The same thing for anyone going through FSU in the 90s. Like, this is the other thing. You have to understand that your understanding of success and what it's going to look like for financial success for a student athlete plus one dollar is an improvement on the status quo. We're talking about people who do not have a lot of money,
right?
Who are just at the beginning of their earning career as people, right? As like coming out plus 18, they are coming out with nothing. So plus one is going to be better than plus zero. They'll take it, whatever it is. But when you talk about local advertisements, you're going to get people who, yeah, are like the Sam Howells, are going to sign with CAA. They're going to make money on a scale that might befit, like, you know, an actual professional athlete in a secondary sport. The people who end up making like 10 grand, 15 grand, go back and look. That is a tremendous amount of money for them. The local advertising to be had on this, that market is consistently underestimated. And you're going to have guys who can just stay local heroes. You get guys who have this career path anyway. You get guys who are local career guys who end up being on local TV or radio, who end up being the guy who has the coach's show at the sports bar. He's like the co-host, or they do the local show about the university team. This is just pre-gaming that. This is just setting a foundation for those guys, you know, the one or two every 4 or 5 years who end up becoming that person.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. So I lived in the Triangle from 2003 to 2013. And so from 03 to now, let me tell you, out of, you know, all those schools in that area, who would have made the most money in local advertising? For me, it's not even close. Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers would have made all the money in the world. He walked onto campus day one with some crazy comeback victory in 2000. There, like, they went from playing Chargers games in Wake County to playing the Colts games after he wound up going. Like, the relationship with Rivers, like, those guys, the ones that the locals just love, like, and every school has one where you just have no idea. Like, Al Wilson apparently is that guy at Tennessee. They love Al Wilson. Don't have an exact answer why, right? I guess he was on their one national championship team, you know, since, you know, football got colorized on TV and on field.
He's the heart guy, right?
Yes.
Like, Al Wilson is the heart guy. He's the hype man. That's why everyone loves Al Wilson, because Al Wilson on that defense, right, was just the heart guy, effort guy, hype man, like everything.
Yes.
It's impossible to watch him and not go, that man makes the whole team tick, which is why he's still the local guy.
Yes. You know who else would have made a lot of money while he was in school off some ads? Dat Nguyen at Texas A&M. But oh my God, I'm afraid to think of what those advertisements might have been.
I can tell you, Dat Nguyen could use that now. Not that he's broke or anything, but he is currently, and I know this for a fact, a franchisee for Chick-fil-A. And that means that he is a local ATM. If you own the Chick-fil-A, you're going to be printing money, right? Because they got the special guard who waves in traffic during lunch hour. Okay. People can't stop shoveling Chick-fil-A in their face out here, you know, in real America. And so he's already got the lucrative base here. If he had had that, that Chick-fil-A franchise probably would have come like 2 or 3 years earlier. Easy.
I want to see the parameters of the Chick-fil-A secret shopper program, right? Like, I don't know if you guys have ever worked one of these jobs that had a secret shopper, but that's the way that they, you know, maintain order and quality and all that is by sending a secret shopper in with a checklist, and you never know who the secret shopper might be. And so you got to do all those things, right? Yeah, I don't know about you, man. Chick-fil-A don't never forget my barbecue sauce. Like, they don't ever get even the littlest thing. Like, what happens if you fail with the secret shopper with them? Have you ever slipped on the My Pleasure? Like, even in New York, where the Chick-fil-A employees, shall we say, don't look like the Chick-fil-A employees at your southern locale, right? Maybe they go to church, but you can't just eyeball it like you can down south, right? A lot more dark-haired people. Now, I didn't say skinned. I said haired. A lot more dark-haired people at these joints up here. But they drop that My Pleasure on you every single time.
They do. I think if you drop it with the secret shopper, you go to, like, Chick-fil-A re-education camp. When you sign the deal and sign on to Team Chick-fil-A, they're like, might be 6 weeks in the mountains for you. Might be some harsh retraining if you forget the My Pleasure.
But we're going to convert you into politeness. That's what we're going to do.
Because I cover football, and if you cover the details every time, right, for an entire 60 minutes of football, I know what happened to get you to that 60 minutes, and that's 600 hours of being yelled at, right, to look tight for 60 minutes. So if you're on point every time I see you, I know the fear of God is somewhere behind you telling you, you better say My Pleasure. You better say it.
And when we say the fear of God, we mean the fear of God.
Yeah, like the man.
This ain't no figure of speech that we talk about here. NIL is here. It's come around. And I guess I have to say the heavy part before we get to the fun part, right? And the heavy part is, this is such a con. And when I say it is a con, I am glad that these guys can get money. But I don't want them to generally get money. There's a specific stack of money I want them to get. And it's the school stack. Like, the one thing I love about this with the NCAA is they fought this just because they on some pimp shit. And they like, hey, you know, wake up with some money is subject to go crazy. So they want to stop them from getting any money. But the thing about the pimp is only stopping you from getting their money. Like, you get paid, pimp takes all the money, you get none. This is kind of like if the pimp said, yeah, but it's cool, you can go work at McDonald's on the weekends if you want to have a little something in your pocket, right? But the pimp knows that's bad news because soon they might, you know, go away or whatever. And so that's why the NCAA tried to stop them from going to McDonald's. But we are all diverting our attention away from the fact that the Supreme Court just a couple weeks ago looked at their whole business model and was like, yo, this is preposterous. What are you talking about? Even Brett Kavanaugh looked at that and was like, this doesn't look like this is I've never seen anything where you don't have to pay the labor. What is this? And they still don't have to pay the labor yet. Like, those lawsuits are coming, but the day that this is right is the day when there is an actual payroll. There's supposed to be a payroll because it's a job.
Now, I have an interesting loop in all of this because I'm jaded. I come from the stance of, well, of course this is a con. This is a scam. Right. And we're just talking about colorful ways to get around that scam. I do have one. Because I do want them to get the school's money. And I'm sure along the way, eventually, competitively, schools are going to want players to get a little bit of that money so that schools can continue to be profitable enterprises. And here's my suggestion. Let's have players endorse the program. Programs have advertising budgets. They got to sell programs. They got to sell tickets. They got to sell everything or they don't make money. We're always hearing that. Oh, man, athletic departments are under stress. Well, better get out there and market a little. What better way to market than by taking your employees and saying, why don't you endorse our program? We'll pay you to be endorsers of Florida football. Just pulling one randomly out of the air for me. Or of USC football. Why don't you become a spokesperson? One of our influencers. For how much? I don't know. 70 grand a year sound all right? 80 grand a year? You know what a professional would be paid for their work. Now, mind you, these are all differently scaled and abled, so we'll pay different wages based on different skill levels. This is a market, after all. If you're a quarterback, might pay you a little bit more. Might pay you a lot more, actually. Just saying. Just an endorsement idea for schools that want to get around this. We covered this already. Is that a payroll? No. No, that's not a payroll. That's just a sum of money that we pool together to give to people who are doing things for us. Definitely not a payroll.
Yo, tell me this, though. Which school is going to be the first one to have the turnover bag on the sideline, right? Like, we had Miami. The turnover chain. We had the Miami. Turnover belt. Who got the paper bag? Like, that's all we need. Paper bag right here. The turnover envelope.
I think it already happened. I think it happened last year. I think Ole Miss has the bag. Literally has a bag. Like I am not joking. I will check on that, but I think under Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss already has a turnover bag. I think that is already a thing. So like again, reality has beaten us to the joke, if that is the case, because I really think they already have one. So now, could it have? Yes, they did. 2020, that is it.
Because of course, Lane already had the turnover bag.
Yeah, used it against Florida last year. I knew I remembered this. Yeah. Was there money in the bag? Mind your business, lady. Mind your business.
That's when we just gonna start getting reckless with it, right? NCAA doesn't even have no enforcement staff anymore. And so, like, their problem with that is honestly, they need like FBI investigators. Like, because, like, loss prevention at a lot of places, let me tell you who's working loss prevention at your local department store. There's two kinds of people, like, people with degrees in criminal justice, and I don't even know if recovering, but former crooks. Like, one of my good buddies used to work loss prevention at the Nordstrom, and he learned what he needed to learn out here in these streets. Like, he learned by practice how to be the guy that does loss prevention. The NCAA, because of what they're going for and not having any actual power, they needed like some real investigative types to be able to handle this stuff. And nobody wants to work there anymore because it didn't even pay that much to begin with. And it's just stress. And so now this whole new world has come up. Ain't no rules, man. Ain't no rules whatsoever. It is the Wild West. Like, everybody who doom and gloomed and said that this was going to be chaos, 100% correct. Like, that just wasn't a good enough reason not to do it. It's chaos because it's their own fault. But oh yeah, it's going to be chaos.
Look at it this way too. What do you tell someone when the feds show up? Don't say anything. What do you say when a cop pulls up? Don't say anything. Don't say anything you don't have to say. You don't actually have to say anything. Just don't, just shut up. Shut up. That's what we tell people to do if they're in a situation involving law enforcement. Again, to anyone within the reach of my voice, understand this. The NCAA is not the law. The NCAA and their investigators have no subpoena power. They have nothing. They can walk in the room and they can ask you a question. You are not obligated to answer that question any more than you are to answer the question of any stranger walking up to you on the street. There is nothing. You have no reason to cooperate. Less than no reason if you're a student, athlete, coach, administrator, or anyone who is questioned by the NCAA. Can we talk? No. It stops right there. It stops. The NCAA can say, well, you refuse to cooperate. Yeah, that's it. That's about the worst you can charge me with and accuse me of. And if everyone else in the NCAA membership doesn't care, then the will to actually push that charge forward disappears. It evaporates. This is now ostensibly a case of, does the NCAA decide whether it exists, or do you just take your little basketball tournament and keep it moving? That's it. Because right now, all the NCAA does with football is drug test.
Yes.
Occasionally, they get these little self-reported ticky-tack things from schools, and they drug test for some reason. I don't know why. The NCAA can just come in and be like, anyone smoking weed? Like, that has anything to do, and like, that is under your purview to go ahead and further extend the federal ban on marijuana usage to an amateur athletics organization. You're just being like proxy cops for fun.
And their threshold is crazy low. Like, I think they have a threshold that's like lower than pilots on marijuana. They're just being haters on this. But no, this is going to be crazy. And if it's going to be crazy, like with the turnover bag and everything else that we're talking about, I honestly feel like before the first game, like, some of these schools that have been kind of legendary outlaws, they need to come back around and give some props to the pioneers, like the OGs on this, right? How many schools we figuring? Three need to invite Jackie Sherrill back to
At
thank
least
him for
the
everything he
Godfather.
Did for showing them the way.
Yeah, because Jackie Sherrill, free market pioneer
yes
in all of
yes
this, right?
yes
and by the way, never ever a hypocrite about it.
No.
Straight up. Never once. Calipari of his time. A guy who was like, we will get you from point A to B. I will help you succeed at Texas A&M, Miss State, Pitt, wherever I am. I'm going to help you succeed. What do you mean by success? Turn that recorder off. That's we're gonna stop. You're gonna this conversation's off the record, and we're gonna talk about what success means here at Texas A&M. That's what we're gonna talk about.
Right. Barry Switzer became a hypocrite about it, though he was not a hypocrite at the time. He legitimately believed that these guys deserved what it was that they were supposed to get. I will tell you this right now. Anytime you see one of these big time coaches, like especially the like ones that we think are good guys, but you never hear them coming out here loud about the cheaters, it's because they know the game. They know what this is, and they're like, yeah, I guess it's unfortunate that person got caught. Huh, ain't that something? Woo, let us keep on moving.
I think Barry got caught, too, in the gap between coaches really getting paid and coaches not getting paid. So when he hears about the money being thrown around, he might justifiably be a little bit salty about that because he might say, no, I don't think the players should get paid because I barely got paid. Like, look at what Barry made compared to what Lincoln Riley is making at Oklahoma right now.
That is a great point.
I'm not saying I agree, but I understand being a little salty over the gap between I was making 500 grand and you're making 5 mil a year.
Right.
Okay, hold up. Hold up. Right. Let's get Barry some of that money retroactively.
And keep in mind, I think in 17 years, Barry Switzer won 3 national championships and I believe had at most 1 season below second place in his conference. 1 season below. We just won all the time. But see, Barry also points out to me, if they had, like you talk about that $5,000, let me tell you something, man. If they had been cutting these dudes $5,000 checks in the cocaine 80s, I don't think you understand how many kilos of blow would have been running through facilities. Because I know how many kilos of blow were running through facilities at that time, right? Like when that was just the thing. And so you go to the crib and they're like, yo, you're going to a whole new market here. Here's a quarter key. Make it work. And they did.
And at the time, too, when people said this is going to be chaos, let's specify what kind of chaos you mean, because that's everything else. Like, oh, these programs are going to be chaos. What's the rest of the market like for everyone? That's the idea. Well, like, this was ordered. Did you think things were on the up and up before? Let me take you in and show you the naivete of what you were thinking. Saying athletes, oh, we got to pay tax. They're going to have to pay taxes.
So do I.
Yeah, so do you. That's the other thing. When somebody says, well, they got to pay taxes on that. Oh, well, I think that's telling on yourself. If you're like, well, how are you going to pay your taxes? Worry about yourself. Focus on your own issues. Get out of these people's business. You know whose job it is to do that? The IRS. Do you know who the IRS generally audits? People who don't have much money, like student athletes. Don't worry, they're coming because they can't put up a fight. If you're real concerned with that, all of a sudden, by the way, you're real concerned with IRS enforcement. I'm wondering about your selective interest in selective enforcement here. If you're one of these people who are like, well, now they're going to have to pay their taxes. Suddenly you're for that? Because if I look at the rest of your social media profile, you have a strongly anti-tax bias.
Yes.
What might be motivating that? What did we just invite in the door and have it sit down at the table for this conversation that we're all not talking about?
Yes. Yes. By the way, before I forget, this whole day of the, you know, bringing this to the surface or everything, just so everybody knows, for those of you who follow football around the state of Texas, this day is the reason why they'll never let the University of Houston into the Big 12. This is the day that Houston would come and tear down everything. Do you realize how many people would be advertising for Landry's? What other restaurants he got? He got some amusement parks. I guess they can't advertise the Golden Nugget, but I imagine that Tillman Fertitta has some hotel that
what
these
is,
guys
what
can
is
advertise.
What is the hotel right next to the Golden Nugget?
Yes,
right?
yes. Like, no.
Right on it, top of?
No, like, I assure you, the people at Houston, like, SMU, and by the way, SMU, there's got to be, what's that, what's my man's name? Sherwood Blunt? For those of you who have seen the 30 for 30 on SMU, Sherwood Blunt is the man who offered the infamous line when the NCAA came and shut SMU down for their slush fund. And they're like, all right, we got to stop. And he was like, but we've got a payroll to meet. All right. Like, they got caught and never stopped because Sherwood Blunt, in some peculiar view of honor, was like, but we got a payroll to meet. Sherwood Blunt is somewhere elbowing somebody. Mortimer, we're back.
We're back. I want one school to do that. I want multiple schools. And I guarantee you one of them's going to be in Texas.
Yes.
Like, I want you to think about this. Texas A&M is the sober scientific engineering and agriculture school, the school that builds things. They're the first ones who will tell you, we're the school that makes stuff. We're the school that keeps this state fed. We're the ones who make the food. We're the ones who build the stuff. That's what we do. Sober, wise, scientific Texas A&M was throwing around money like poshas, like barons. Right? like Industrial Revolution era monarchs just throwing cash at Jimbo Fisher. That's what the sober scientific program was doing in Texas. What do you think SMU is capable of?
SMU, keeping in mind the program who's been on probation more than anybody else in history, right?
It's because fair. They have, it's fair.
Yes, they have all kinds of impediments to success, but all kinds of people with money. And they were just down to throw it around. They are like, okay, so how long before we'll be playing at Jerry World? You know what I'm saying? Like, how long will it be before we move our games back into the Cowboys Stadium and to get this happen? Like, I'm like, what other schools are just sitting around like, oh yeah, baby, we about to do this. Just you watch.
I'm just going to go back. I'm going to go back in the records, and I want you to look at stricken records. I want you to look at stricken seasons, okay? And I want you to go back and look at programs that have had whole seasons wiped out due to recruiting violations. And Auburn?
Yes.
Auburn, you've had a few of those. Come on down.
Third, by the way, in most times on probation. This list is old, but I still think they're at the top.
Florida? Florida's had whole years wiped out, whole decades wiped out by probation. Florida? I'm sorry. You're going to have to join everyone else in the list of, sorry, we were too good at business. We're going to stop saying on probation or most felonious programs or outlaw programs. We're just going to call these people too good at business. And the haters couldn't tolerate it. That's what we're going to call it. SMU, too good at business. I believe, has A&M been on there? We're going to look at the collection of Jackie Sherrill schools.
Yeah. They've been up there a few times. They went on probation after Sherrill left.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, y'all, too good at business. That's what Jackie Sherrill would say. Sorry if I'm too good at my job. Who else we got? We got USC on there?
Yes, USC is number two behind SMU.
That's right. USC, come on down. Again, sorry, we're just too good at our jobs. That's what all these programs are, haters. They're just too good at business. That's not cheating. They were just better at recruiting than you were.
It's coming. It's coming. Shout out to Bill Yeoman. Like, we talked about Houston. Like, the thing people need to understand about the University of Houston, I talked about this on this podcast once with our guy, Stephen Godfrey, which is Houston has always been out in front in one way or another, just because they wanted to be, like, they're a relatively newcomer school in terms of their existence and getting all the programs. So, in terms of integration for the region, football and basketball, Houston out in front. The advent of like the dunk as a technique in basketball, University of Houston out in front. Houston, where the option was invented, right? All of this, and the inventor of the option, our man Bill Yeoman, who brought the veer there, who ultimately got fired in the 1980s because the NCAA came to shut this thing down, and Bill Yeoman himself was handing out the envelopes in the locker room. Himself was handing out the envelopes in the locker room. That's a G among G's right here, man. He wanted them to know, I did this for you.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, hands-on CEO. Yes. Unafraid of doing the hard work of college football recruiting, Bill Yeoman. Houston also being the home of the space program, appropriately enough, first on that run and shoot wagon. Houston is the bodybuilder in the gym that asks no questions about what they're putting in their veins. If they think it'll equal gains, they will do it. So if you have a hypodermic loaded up with something, the guy's like, hey, man, what's that do? I don't know, but like my gains are incredible. Boom, Houston's popping it like right in. So the run and shoot, no hesitation. Just adopted the run and shoot, went straight there.
And then went on probation again. Mm-hmm. Yep. After that, what happened? No, I'm telling you, Tillman is ready. Dana definitely ready. Dana Hogerson over there, Tillman ready. Dana ready. There's just... Oh my God, this is going to just be hilarious on so many levels. Now, here's my question. How ready is Nebraska? Like, Nebraska has got, like, there is a generation of people. I can't think of any school. Like, there's schools that, like, used to be good and then, you know, such and such happened and then they're not good anymore. It wasn't that long ago. It was legitimately 20 years ago that Nebraska was in the national championship game. Like, they were still Nebraska. And they always feel like they can get back. They feel like they're this close to be able to get back. Well, who is the state? Who's the corn board going to hire to come tell people how dope corn is?
Hey, we're going to have a bunch of fans of all corn derivative products. Remember, this is the program where somebody hid a gun in a safe for a player.
Someone?
Who's going
to? Someone?
I'm sorry. That'd be Kevin Steele. Kevin Steele inside the safe in Tom Osborne's office.
The coach, like the defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be the defensive coordinator.
Yes.
The number two on the staff, essentially putting a gun in a safe that had been involved in an alleged shooting earlier, put it in the safe in Tom Osborne's office. Right. That would be legendary coach Tom Osborne. Yeah. Now, some of you will hear this and go, my, how scandalous. And some of you are going to hear this and go, man, that program will do anything for a player.
Yes. Tom Osborne, who ran his own investigation of Lawrence Phillips when that went down. Yeah. When Lawrence Phillips threw a female athlete at Nebraska down a flight of steps and then brought him back for a national championship game where, I swear to God, they didn't need anybody. Nope. Else. They didn't need anything else. Amon Green wasn't good enough. Amon Green was not good enough. So we needed to bring Lawrence Phillips in, who had not played all year long. And boom. Okay. Now he's going to wind up on the field. No. Nebraska, one way or another, going to find his way back. Because what they can't do is what they could do in the Big Eight, which was transcript. What we need that for? It, like it was basically like getting into junior college. I don't even think you need no diploma. Just come on down.
Just roll. By the way, remember that when the Big Ten really gets fond of citing their academic bona fides, when they say, well, the prestigious academic conference, no offense to the University of Nebraska, which has its strengths. University of Nebraska is not exactly Northwestern when it comes to admission standards.
Nebraska, them letting Nebraska in was the equivalent of when the ACC let Florida State in. Except Florida State served much more of a purpose than Nebraska did. Like, Florida State gave them relevance. Nebraska just gave them 14.
Hey, shouts out to Barry Jenkins and the Florida State Film School, by the way. So, yes. Like, you know, I'm going to trash Florida State all I can because I'm a Florida fan. But fine film school that funds undergraduate programs and projects. So I'm not even going to say that. Does Nebraska have a film school? No, I don't even know if I put Nebraska up there with FSU. Okay. Like that's where I would get. And I'm sure they have their strengths, but you're not Northwestern. Don't act like it. Additionally, Nebraska, they want it. They want it. That's all we're going to talk about. We're going to find the money. In America, we can always find the money. This is the uncle rule, right? Like one of the several rules explained by your uncle that really explains America and how humans behave. Your uncle wants a boat. Your uncle is getting a boat. How is he getting that boat? None of your business. He's going to find the money. He's going to make it work. He's going to take out whatever loan he needs to get the boat. The boat for Nebraska, your uncle in this case, is a good football team. What are they going to do to get to it? Whatever they have to do. And so much of what they need to do now is theoretically on the books and legal.
Yes. And the last thing before we go, as you know, I have been saying for years that Arkansas needs to swallow its pride, come back to the Big 12. They'll have a lot more fun. They may not make as much money, but they'll enjoy themselves a lot more if they're in the Big 12. The thing that people don't understand about Arkansas is Arkansas, like Louisiana, is like a developing country in terms of levels of income inequality, which is to say, you think about Arkansas and staggering poverty and everything else, but you know what else there is? Tyson, the chicken people. Don't they got a lot of diamond business there in Arkansas? And of course, what's the name of that store?
Walmart.
There it is. Trust. The Arkansas that's been in the SEC for 30 years and has not won a conference championship in football yet. Trust me, they got things for people to advertise. Who don't want chicken? Who don't want some chicken?
This is also where we get players influenced by the same things that everyone else in the United States is influenced by. You're going to watch a lot of people make very mature calculations very quickly. And by that, I mean, you bring up Arkansas, and my first thought was, hey, I remember Little Rock, and I remember Springdale, you know, a couple different places. They always end up on these, like, best places to live in America things, like best small town to live in. And I was like, well, why does that happen? Because I wouldn't exactly think of that as my first option. And the thing that they'll go when talking about, like, why Fayetteville is the best, like, small city to live in, cost of living. You're going to have players who go, well, I had that offer from Miami, but frankly, that $25,000 I'm getting from Walmart goes a lot further in Fayetteville. Like, there's going to be 18 to 19 year olds suddenly going, you know what? Cost of living is a real thing, and I'm going to make an intelligent calculation based on that.
I will say, counterpoint, you take that visit to Arkansas and then they take you to South Beach, it's going to take a lot more than $25,000. Them boys don't make wise decisions. They they make decisions. They were like, you know what? I'll just go down here and learn this MMA.
Oh, don't. All right. Don't sell me out like that by putting it against Miami. Let's take somebody who's going to Arkansas or Columbia, Missouri. Okay.
There we go.
Or maybe Arkansas or Georgia Tech.
There
right?
We go.
Like,
there we go.
Oh, Atlanta's fun and I can have a lot of fun, but whoo, that rent.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. Yes. If it's South Beach, shop closed. Stunned.
There we go. That is Spencer Hall, the best college football writer in America. Check out the Shutdown Full Cast. And what else we got?
Oh, we got Channel 6. That's the new writing site and content site that I'm doing with my partner, Holly Anderson. So all of the writing, articles, seriousness, couple podcasts, whatever comes down the pipe. We promise two things a week. This channel.6.ghost.io. You can find the link, if that's too much of a mouthful for you, in my bio on twitter.com @EDSBS. It's you got to pay, though. Can't be free. None of this free. Y'all got to pay if you want the good stuff.
I think we can get that into podcast notes also. My man, thank you so much, as always. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing a couple times a week. Gabe Bassan and David Presley handling everything behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars, I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.